CH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The U.S. Supreme Court ruling that ICE raids in California can go forward. Here's ABC Chief White House Correspondent Mary Bruce.
This is a big win for President Trump and his administration's aggressive immigration enforcement tactics. The Supreme Court lifting restrictions on ICE agents operating in California, allowing them to target, stop, and detain people based solely on their race, the fact that they speak Spanish, where they gather, or what type of work they do. Factors that a lower court judge had deemed unconstitutional. The Fourth Amendment, of course, protects against unlawful searches and seizures.
The White House is denying that the sexually suggestive letter and drawing allegedly sent from Donald Trump to Jeffrey Epstein 22 years ago was done by Trump. The House Oversight Committee released it last night. The Israeli military is urging a full evacuation of Gaza City ahead of its planned expanded offensive. Hundreds of thousands of people say they have nowhere else to go. Hundreds are staging a sit-in. This is ABC News.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection is warning residents to keep an eye on their season tickets for the Packers, Brewers, Bucks, and Badgers. Agency officials say a number of sports fans in the state have recently reported that their season tickets were stolen by scammers who accessed their accounts and transferred the tickets to another account. The DATCP is reminding residents never to share their passwords, not to click suspicious email or text links, and to use multi-factor authentication for additional security. The Wisconsin State Patrol is highlighting rail safety as its law of the month for September. According to a press release, about a dozen people are injured in train-related crashes in the state every year. Law enforcement officials are reminding residents of proper safety practices to navigate rail crossings, including not going around lowered crossing gates and not stopping on the tracks even when there's no train in sight. If your vehicle stalls on the tracks, you should get out immediately and look for a blue emergency notification system sign. The Lakeland Family Resource Center is inviting Spooner area residents to an open house and ribbon-cutting ceremony to celebrate their accreditation as a Family Resource Center of Quality by Thriving Wisconsin. The facility received the accreditation for demonstrating its ability to engage in robust professional development, including evidence-based programs in parenting support, resource coordination, and early childhood services. The open house and ribbon-cutting ceremony will take place at their Spooner facility on September 24th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. The Aging and Disability Resource Center of St. Croix County is inviting residents to a series of pop-up nutrition events this month. The first event will take place on Tuesday at Agave Togogo in Hudson from 4:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. There will also be events at Ready Randy's in New Richmond on September 17th, the Baldwin Senior Center on September 18th, and the Wood City Tavern in Glenwood City from September 23rd to 25th. The pop-ups aim to share information on eating healthy foods, staying active, and additional resources with area seniors. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
The Badgers head for Bama. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers have a road game Saturday against number 19th-ranked Alabama, kickoff 11 a.m. So how do the players feel about taking on the Crimson Tide? Badgers head coach Luke Fickell.
There's nothing more that you want to do as a competitor than be in the biggest games and the biggest competition out there. And to go to Alabama to play in front of that crowd, to go down there to play, you know, in the SEC country, I think that there's not a guy within our program that isn't say that's one of the reasons why they're here.
NFL, a short week for the Packers. They hold the Commanders Thursday night. Packers wide receiver Jaden Reed dealing with a stress fracture in his left foot. I asked how he was doing after Sunday's game against the Lions.
It feels great to win. I'm definitely hurting a little bit, but you know, thank God we got some time to recover. Put my foot in some ice and I'll feel better.
Baseball, the Brewers and the Rangers tonight in Texas. Milwaukee losing last night 5-0. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A stationary front in the area will lead to some scattered showers and thunderstorms. A cool day with highs in the mid-60s. That front will linger tonight, leading to a few more showers and thunderstorms. Low temperatures in the mid-50s, highs near 70 on Wednesday. Currently, it's 62.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Dan Marcus is here. One of the snacks Dan likes, called Sen Sen.
Kind of
tart and sour.
The packaging is not great. I understand it's very old, but like you got, it's like a toffee fay or something. Like
it's like eating candy flavored charcoal.
Okay.
I am looking on Google, and these packages that I'm looking at are.
Conrad likes to look at packages on Google.
Nightlife with Beachwalker. Weeknights from 6 to 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Green Bay's own Frank Hermans. Just a bit outside, director Sean Hennish joins with big news and the Green Bay Film Festival's Nick Watier. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. It's nice to have you here up north on this Tuesday morning, September 9th. Nice to have you up north here on Lake Wissota. Then there's people like Jeff Renicky who go, you're not up north. He's up north. And we'll talk to him about Friends of the Apostle Islands. And just basically what is the state of our national parks and related areas as we are now 7-8 months into the Trump administration's willful neglect of our national parks and other areas. So Jeff Renicky coming up in just a bit. And then a little later on this hour, dairy farmer Hans Breitenmoser and Sheila Everhart of the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association will talk a bit more about the growth of tourism across rural Wisconsin. But first, let's bring in meteorologist Brittany Merlot, because speaking of the Ashland area, it looks on my radar view like they've been the unwitting victims of some training of some heavy rain that's just scrolling right across that northern edge of the state. Brittany, good morning. How are things looking?
Good morning. Yes, Highway 2 looks pretty wet out there. A flash flood warning is in effect pretty much that Ashland area off of Highway 2. About 1.5 to 3 inches have already fallen. Thankfully, it's looking like it's easing up and starting to move out of the area, but it doesn't mean you're done yet. We're still looking at rain chances sparking up later this morning, more numerous and starting to move towards central Wisconsin by this afternoon. And then by this evening and tomorrow morning, headed towards the Madison and Fox Valley area. So a cloudier day today. We are looking at temperatures making it to the mid-60s up north where the clouds are going to be hanging out. A little bit more spots of sunshine down south today. Mid-70s are expected. Same temperatures tomorrow, too, as the system continues to work through the state. Tomorrow, we'll see more sunshine further northwest. More of that rain starting to try to make its way towards Madison and, like I said, the Fox Valley. But it does ease up and die out. You're not looking at heavy rainfall amounts. Well, today, we still have that risk of a good 1 to 3 inches possible in parts of central Wisconsin. So we could see more flash flood warnings going out throughout the day. But by Thursday and Friday and even into this weekend, we're looking at a major warm up. By Friday, we're going to hit about 80 degrees throughout the state, and we're going to hold on to that for the weekend, and it's going to get a little bit muggy too. So summer is back and it's around the corner.
Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah, so summer can come back for a little bit longer. I don't mind that. This little taste of fall was fine. Now, again, we don't know where everything's going to develop exactly, but I will say that what's happening in northern Dunn County right now, because I looked out the window, it's like, it's starting to look a little ominous here, like it wants to rain. And sure enough, on the radar, a little something's forming in Dunn County, whether it's one of those scattered things that comes and goes, I don't know, but some folks in the Chippewa Valley looks like we're about to get some sprinkles on our windshield, whether we like it or not. But
don't forget that umbrella today.
Glad to hear about the warm-up that's on the way. Let's see, from Rob in Tigerton, we get good morning. It's partly cloudy, 54 degrees. Yesterday was a very beautiful day. Oh, was it ever. Mm-hmm. I ditched the hoodie at 9 a.m., mowed 4 yards in the Wittenberg area. says he was on the homecoming court for Tigerton his senior year, one of the rewards of playing football for a small town football team back in 1985. Said he loved watching the Vikings come from behind to beat the Bears last night. Way back in 1961, the Minnesota Vikings' first ever win was a 37-14 victory over the Bears. And he says, I love going to parks for the fall colors. We'll be talking about national parks in just a bit. Says, I have to get my tire fixed on my John Deere. It has a slow air leak, and I've got to air it up once a week to get that problem solved. I think we should look for a more permanent fix there, Rob. Yeah, let's do that. And Brittany is the best meteorologist. Civic Media should be honored to have the best meteorologist. Look at
Thank you, Rob.
Gosh, yeah. Tony notes that it has been raining in Ashland since last night and says, yes, he thinks that they have a flood warning up there. So that's, it looks like it's just going to be doing that thing for a while. So
it sure is. It sure is. Oh, yeah. And I got a comment on last night's game. That was fantastic. Because did you realize that the quarterback for the Vikings, right? He's not only the youngest, he looks like a little baby. He's so cute, right? But he's from Chicago. So he beat Chicago there. So at his hometown. And just that's cool to me.
I did not know that about JJ McCarthy. I'm just glad I'm thinking about somebody other than Mike McCarthy. I'm glad that, that we've got JJ McCarthy to look forward to now. Yes.
Mike McCarthy got a really good reception, though. He was at honored at halftime because they were doing the 2010 Super Bowl team at the Packer game, and he got a really big standing ovation. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, wow. So here's the thing for Mike McCarthy. Yeah, we were happy to kind of boo him when he was with Dallas and all that, but he never trashed Green Bay. And, you know, he never went the whole diva route. No, and so, he comes back in. And, compare that to two former quarterbacks and where the reception's been a little bit different. So, you know, if you want to move on from Green Bay, that's fine. Just don't be a diva. That's all we ask.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, Favre got, a good day. When they retired his number, he was well-received that day.
Well, yes, he was. Yes. But in part, it was in part because we'd seen how well he did with the Jets and with the Vikings.
True.
That felt good. It's like, see, buddy, we're the place you want to be. This is it. Yeah. All right, Brittany, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next hour.
Sounds good.
See you, Brittany.
All right. Again, you can sign up for our newsletter at Up North News. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. We'd love to have you as a subscriber there. Also, let me tell you something. Everybody loves a bargain, okay? But the kind of bargain you can get at our national parks right now, it's not necessarily a good one if you want to keep our parks healthy and if you want to keep them around in the future. So now that it's Labor Day and beyond, it might be a good time to review how things have gone in our national parks generally and our national lakeshore, the Apostle Island specifically. And so let's bring in for our Way Up North segment, Jeff Renicky from Friends of the Apostle Islands. Jeff, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Nice to join you from the wet shores of Lake Superior.
Yes, it most certainly is. Now, you and I both had seen the same New York Times article about the impact that President Trump's willful neglect of our national parks has had. There are 433 parks, and about a quarter of them have been significantly strained and understaffed because of the cuts. And then there's this whole notion when I talked about a bargain. They're so understaffed that there's, in many cases, nobody collecting fees that you should be paying for the upkeep of our parks. And so the trash is piling up and everything. But, you know, again, with people not paying, it kind of becomes like a doom loop. And Jeff, among the many things I'm sure you want to discuss, that has to be a very concerning one.
Oh, very much so. The whole season has been concerning. You know, going into your busy season with a 24% reduction in permanent staffing, a hiring freeze, only about half the seasonal workers you usually hire, you know, budget clampdowns, and frankly, historically low morale is not exactly a recipe for success. But I do have to say that despite the dire predictions, the summer season in our national parks generally went off relatively successfully. There were some closures and bumps in the road, sometimes literally because they didn't have any money to fix the roads. But there were no major disasters. And I think we should begin with a testament to the grit and the fortitude and the professionalism of our men and women of the National Park Service who went above and beyond the call of duty. But as you hint at, the warning signs are flashing red.
Yeah, well, without a doubt, and again, despite the best efforts, you have people who, you know, go off trails like in Yellowstone, and they get burned by some of the, you know, the thermal vents that are there. You've always got the people who are trying to pet the fluffy cows. Please leave the bison alone, boys and girls. It's not a petting zoo, and I make light of what could get to be a bad thing. And again, I don't think either one of us is intentionally trying to be overly half full or half empty on this, except to say that there is an adequate staffing level. There is an adequate revenue level to get the most out of our national parks. And this administration, which has yet to nominate someone to run the National Park Service, does not appear to be interested in reaching that adequate staffing or funding level. So, I mean, it's gone great. It's gone okay so far, Jeff, but I guess what we're saying is, you know, don't get complacent about this.
No, because some of these problems will be long-term, and some of them were pretty minor. I mean, we mentioned the garbage pickup and the clean bathrooms. You know, those are inconveniences, and they have no place in our national parks, our crown jewels. But as you hint at, there's some very big concerns, things like in Voyageurs National Park, for instance, they were down to 4 out of 7 emergency response workers, and they had to limit their emergency responses to just 4 days a week out of the 7 days. In a place like Zion, another park in Utah, they get 500 emergency calls a summer season, and their staff for emergency response was down by 10%. Now, luckily, there wasn't this year any major problems that they weren't able to deal with, but you know it's coming. You know, sooner or later there will be something that they're not quite able to stand up and make happen the way they should.
We are talking to Jeff Renneke from Friends of the Apostle Islands about some of the cuts to the National Park Service and the impact of them. You know, lawmakers in Congress from both parties have been rather skeptical of the Trump cuts. There is Senator Angus King, independent of Maine, who said, if the Park Service is overstaffed, if there's waste, show it to us. Show us the data. Show us the number of people, where they are, which positions you feel are unnecessary and shouldn't be funded, which is the kind of thing we've said at the whole general level about government waste, fraud, and abuse. I mean, show us. Don't just point to a big number and say, gosh, that's a big number, but point to the specific thing that you think is waste or abuse, and, you know, have to be able to defend that. So you've got millions of people out there, Jeff, who love our national parks. How can people help if they want to express their opinions?
Well, the next big challenge, of course, is the budget fight, which we all know is coming up before October 1st. And I think there's a crack showing in the administration's attack on the parks. The Trump administration's skinny budget suggested a $1.2 billion cut for the National Park Service budget. That's 37%. The House Committee on Public Lands said, well, thank you very much, but they suggested a $176 million cut, which is only 6%. So there's a battle brewing, which makes it a perfect time for people who love our national parks to stand up, make their opinions heard by discussing this with their representatives and joining groups like Friends of the ApostleIslands.org to try to make their voices heard for our crown jewels.
Very good. And, you know, again, we did talk about kind of some of the overarching problems at the national parks. I guess we'll end specifically about the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore. Any impacts this year or any concerns for the future that you wanted to lay out there for our listeners?
Yeah, let me give you two very quickly. First of all, it was a very successful season here, again, because of the great job of the Park Service people, a staff that was cut almost by 2/3, including the loss of the chief ranger and our superintendent. But so except for things like there was no ranger-led tours at the Michigan Island Lighthouse, relatively small things, it wasn't really visible to the general public. But let me give you an example of the domino effect here. We talked about those uncollected fees in places like Zion National Park. Well, 80% of those fees you pay at a park like Zion or the Grand Canyon or Yellowstone stay in the park. But that other 20% go into a pool, which is dispersed among parks like the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore that doesn't have its own fee collection. So it's a domino effect hurting us here too.
Yeah. And so even if you can bypass the fees, make a donation and show your support for our national parks. Jeff Renicky with Friends of the Apostle Islands, thank you very much for all this background and helping to build support for our national parks. We really appreciate it. Have a great day.
Thanks for the opportunity.
You bet. All right. Still ahead, we'll be talking about rural tourism opportunities as we escape to Wisconsin, as the old bumper sticker used to say. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Mr. Pat Kreitlow joins us from Lake Wissota.
Everything that I know about high culture, everything I know about opera, for example, comes from Bugs Bunny cartoon. The kids are missing out these days. They got Bluey and all of that.
Well, now it's all like real.
We had coyotes falling off of cliffs. Come on.
Exactly. And now it's all this educational crap.
We really have just become the two old men rocking on the porch talking about days gone by.
Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
More with Pat Kreitlow on the Buzz of the North coming up on a Tuesday morning, a Greeple Tuesday. Joel Karnick here and Gray Gunderson. Little green, little purple, gray. Week one of the NFL Football Talk Tuesday. Week one is
officially in the books. It's done. It's here.
Yes, and we'll mix in a little green and a little purple in both of our segments, but you were kind of unable to watch the game, didn't watch the game last night. In fact, until just moments ago, didn't really know who won.
Yes,
right?
So you and I discussed this, and we were in great shape. We'll pull the curtain back a little bit for the people, let them know, like, you and I were really excited about this. We're going to come in early Tuesday morning after the game. We'll both watched. We'll both, you know, because my Packer game went phenomenal, and we needed your side of things, so we were both excited about it. And then I come in this morning, I was like, Joel, I didn't watch the game. It wasn't possible. I couldn't
literally
do it.
I walked in the door, and I said, do you even know who won? I don't know who won. I'm just like, whoa.
Well,
all right.
So I thought about that, and I thought, okay, I could just Google it and know who won, or I could watch the highlights and sort of let the game unfold for me. And then I realized that I'd done it wrong and that I needed to be more informed. And so I ended up Googling who won in the end anyway. And so I've got some light cliff notes. But what I'm going to do between our segments, I'm going to inform myself a little bit better and watch a little bit of the All-22 film and see what I can see. But from what I could see on those just light touches, comeback.
I'll give you my opinion on the whole and the emotions of last night's game from a Viking fan. We'll cover that in a little bit.
Yeah,
there was both ends of the spectrum last night. Totally. But after week one of the NFL, I would like to brag for a moment because I know this probably won't hold true for very long, and usually doesn't in the NFL. But after week one of the NFL, the NFC North division is what I thought it was going to be.
Yep.
And it's probably going to change. All right. Caleb Williams, I just don't think he's a number one quarterback. That's my opinion. Detroit, I just think is taking a step back this year. The way the Packers kicked their tuchuses on the line of scrimmage on Sunday explains that. And I think the Vikings and Packers are the two best teams in the division. Again, after week one. But I feel pretty good about it because that's kind of what I thought was going to happen. Thank you very much.
And of course. You got to take the confirmation where you can get it, even if it's only for a week's time. One thing I did see was I caught a couple highlights mid-game because once I realized last night I couldn't watch the game, I did try to keep up with some sources of info. So I'd see a couple highlights here and there. And I did see a couple things from Caleb Williams that actually looked decent. So maybe the game ended up looking uglier than I thought it did for him just from the one or two highlights I saw. But no, I agree. You and I discussed what we expected from the division a lot. And Joel, I am not a compelling listen when it comes to predictions because I'm not going to Stephen A. Smith you. I'll tell you that I think it could be a lot of different things that happen. I'll tell you the future is uncertain, and that's boring.
And my prediction of the Vikings being there with the Packers was predicated on the fact that J.J. McCarthy was at least a middle-of-the-pack quarterback. And last night's game, I'll give you the emotion of last night's game. Now, Packer fans, you've had Brett Favre, you've had Aaron Rodgers, you've had some pretty good quarterbacks for a while. So the emotions of the quarterback position for Packer fans is a little less off the charts and below the charts than a Viking fan. Is that safe to say?
I would say so, yeah.
So last night, early second quarter, I said out loud, and my hat may or may not have left my forehead and been chucked across the room, I may or may not have said out loud, Ponder Jr. All right?
That may have, handoff artist!
That may have come out of my mouth at some point. And I knew what the Vikings were doing last night. They were easing J.J. McCarthy into the NFL. They were baby steps early, just little handoffs and little stuff on the, you know, little flips out to the flat. And the Bears knew that. The Bears were just... they were just eating up the line of scrimmage. They were stopping the run. They were saying, we don't think this young kid's going to throw the ball down the field. And he didn't early. And the Bears absolutely dominated the Vikings last night at the line of scrimmage. The Vikings, let me give you this stat. The Vikings did not convert a third down until 13 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. All right.
Ooh.
They were 0-for-7 on third down. Still, we're only down 17-6.
You basically just told me I can skip all the first three quarters of highlights.
Oh, it was a Bear domination. They celebrated the 40th anniversary of the Super Bowl last night, and Aikman and Buck were borderline like, this defense, resembles a defense I remember from 40 years ago. And it was. They were dominating the Vikings in the first half. So with that said, obviously J.J. McCarthy, they took a little bit of the reins off him, put him in the shotgun. He scored 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter, became the first ever NFL quarterback in his first game to have 3 touchdowns, 2 passing, 1 rushing in the fourth quarter to lead the comeback. And it was encouraging for Viking fans to see that after a disastrous first half. Absolutely disastrous first half.
You know, the other thing I didn't look at was my fantasy team because I was in a situation where all I had left was Justin Jefferson and a 20-point deficit to overcome.
He did get a touchdown, but yeah. I don't think I got 30 yards or so, maybe not much.
Well, you said JJ got 3. I was like, well, if Jefferson caught all 3 of those, I might have a chance, and it sounds like that may not be.
So the game last night was an emotional roller coaster for Viking fans, to say the least, but when it all came down to the end, and the Vikings ended up winning, and J.J. McCarthy ran the ball in for the deciding touchdown. I think Viking fans saw, hopefully they saw in J.J. McCarthy, that ability. He's always been a winner. You know, he won a national title. That ability in the fourth quarter when they needed him, he made the throws and he made the decisions. And for a first game ever in the NFL, it was off to a pretty good start in that second half, no doubt.
Man, you know what, Joel, I'm happy for you, but you know what I'm realizing I'm super curious about is what did Ben Johnson do with his first game as a head coach? I want to see the Johnson Williams. I want to see what Ben Johnson's going to do with Caleb Williams. Will it look like what Ben Johnson did for Jared Goff, which was basically bring him from maybe he's a backup now to, wow, maybe he's top 3.
Williams, very athletic. He made the Viking defense look foolish in that first half the way he ran. He ran. The Vikings took that away then in the second half and made him throw the ball, and he's not a great thrower. And that's what it came down to. He made some bad throws, should have probably been picked a couple of times. But his athleticism and his ability to run with his legs? Oh, definitely. I mean, he made the Vikings look ridiculous in that first half, but the Vikings adjusted and were able to shut him down and get a hand in his face, and he was, I think they had six consecutive third down failures in the second half. The Bears did. They were 0-for-6. So,
you want me to be scared of their feet? I won't be.
Yeah, well, more on that. We'll talk more on the Packers side on the second segment here this morning. It's a Greeple Tuesday with Greg Gunderson over there, the Packer guy, Joel Karnick here, the Viking guy. Stick around at 7:52. We'll talk more green and gold and purple here on the Buzz of the North.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
DACCAP is proposing an increase in fees for livestock yards, dealers, and haulers. But what exactly will these increased fees be affecting? I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and Kurt Larson, the president and CEO of Equity Livestock, is here to give an inside look on the proposed Chapter 12 fee increases.
Chapter 12 is the chapter that really impacts what we're doing. And there's an annual registration or annual license fee that we pay for our markets to be licensed every year. And then dealers, livestock dealers, as well as livestock truckers also have to pay an annual registration fee. And primarily what that does is it funds the audits. So in our case, our livestock markets, our markets are all Class A markets because of the number of sales we have in a year. So as Class A markets, a DACCAP auditor comes out to our facility quarterly.
Kurt Larson, the president and CEO of Equity Livestock, joining us. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo, and we'll take a look at some agriculture news right after this.
At the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, they know your business has always been something special. Now you can let customers know it too, in an instant, with the red and yellow Something Special from Wisconsin sticker. Joining the program gives you access to supplier and distribution information, marketing support, and a community of like-minded Wisconsin businesses. Best of all, you'll let people know that your work is done with care, quality, and love. You've always been something special. Visit somethingspecialfromwisconsin.com to make it official.
Farmers and ranchers across the country trust Can-Am because of how they build, support, and stand behind their machines. Now they're backing that trust with even more. Get 24 months of coverage when you purchase select Defender and Outlander models through the Can-Am Agricultural and Business Program. That's how confident they are in the durability of their units. That's not all. You also get a rebate up to $3,500. Give your fleet the upgrade it deserves. Visit the Can-Am website to learn more about the program. Offer ends October 31st. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. Now let's take a look at some agriculture news. The Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce is once again holding their Coolest Thing Made in Wisconsin competition. The nomination period is open through September 12th, and the announcement of the Coolest Thing Made in Wisconsin for this year will be held on October 23rd. In other news, at the World Dairy Expo Championship Dairy Product Contest, Wisconsin showed why we are America's Dairyland by taking home 52.3% of all cow's milk cheese awards. With a look at some agriculture news from the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A stationary front in the area will lead to some scattered showers and thunderstorms, a cool day with highs in the mid-60s. That front will linger tonight, leading to a few more showers and thunderstorms, low temperatures in the mid-50s, highs near 70 on Wednesday. Currently, it's 62.
Matt Nair on air.
Mr. Darren Von Ruden, who is the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, this farm bill is supposed to be passed in 2023.
It's really frustrating that they've forgotten about small farmers. We actually pay more taxes than the billionaires do. Why are those tax dollars not coming back to the communities that pay them? Whether it's through the farm bill or it's other programs, we need to make sure that we keep fighting and let them know that we're not happy.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Did you miss Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers in theaters? Good news. It's on television on Tuesday night for free. Join us next time when we talk with the producer and director.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
All right, as we do every other Tuesday here on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News, we visit with Lincoln County dairy farmer Hans Brighton Moser, who is quite frequently joined by Sheila Everhart of the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. And, of course, the State Assembly is coming back into session. We don't know the status yet of the State Senate, and we'll get into that more an hour from now with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area. But there are definitely bills that the legislature needs to be taking up and working on. And Sheila's going to talk to us about a little bit of that coming up in just a sec. But first, as we check in with Hans, hey, good morning. We know it's getting to be that time of year, harvesting, things like that. I was looking at the statewide conditions here, and the fourth cutting of hay across the state is 65% complete, 9 days ahead of last year, 5 days ahead of average. Corn condition is rated 82% good to excellent. Corn for silage, 10% harvested. I always say these things because Hans feels like it's a report card for how he's doing.
It is. I always feel like it's a report card. But this time I got one good grade because our fourth crop is harvested.
All right.
Well, I'm ahead of the curve finally on one thing that you mentioned.
how are things looking otherwise?
Not too bad. We did harvest our fourth crop the week before last, actually. And then we hauled a bunch of manure this past week. So this week we're thinking about getting ready for corn silage harvest. We're a little ways off, but today we're going to burn some corn down, which means we take some stalks out of the fields that we intend to harvest for silage, and we burn them down to basically we grind them up, burn them down is what they call it, to get all the moisture out, to determine what in fact the moisture level of the whole plant is, and that will drive our decision making on when we should start harvesting corn silage. Of course, there's plenty of other variables because the weather has to cooperate and the custom guys have to cooperate and all the other things. But we're looking to see what the moisture is now so we can sort of plan for when that corn might be chopped.
Okay. All kinds of things that have to come together. And let's bring in Sheila Everhart as well. And Sheila, I know we're going to be talking about policy and tourism and things like that. But, you know, we always talk about Hans's little farm. I'm sure you're talking to folks as well. And what kind of condition things have been in so far for harvest and field work? How are you?
We're doing great. So last week we did corn silage as well down on the farm here in Rock County, Wisconsin. And we're just monitoring to see when our harvest will be starting. And of course, about 3 weeks ago, we had our fourth cut of hay done.
Okay. Well, let's turn to the legislative session now that the state budget is passed and summer break is over. And so the assembly will be meeting shortly. Committees are meeting once again. And so you've got some legislation that you're following. And one of the first ones, Assembly Bill 413, that's the one about camping regulations when it comes to farms, correct?
Yes, that's farm stay, we call that. With the ongoing changes in the farming industry, farmers face increasing challenges to operate. Farm stays can provide additional opportunities for small farms to diversify their incomes, making their family farms solvent and supporting future generations on the farm. This is agricultural tourism, which boosts tourism in our rural economies. It brings economic growth to those rural areas, and it educates the public on the importance of agriculture. So this legislation would allow farmers to operate a campground on their farm without a campground license for the purpose of educating the public through on-farm experiences and providing opportunities to diversify the farm income. To qualify, it must be on a working farm. You would be identified as one parcel and have no more than three sites. So that is the Assembly Bill 413 that has been assigned to the Committee on Forests, Parks, and Recreation. And I provided the link for you, Pat. Mm-hmm. The Senate bill on that is Senate Bill 415 that has been assigned to the Senate Committee on Ag and Revenue.
And then you're also looking as well to the legislature to continue working on a follow-up bill to the entire overhaul of liquor licensing and its impact on, you know, so-called wedding barns and other farm venues. And you're still working to get that that draft finished and get the bill assigned to a committee. Is that right?
Yes. So there's been work on that. We're really working hard to get it correct. We need it numbered and assigned to a committee in the month of September. Right now it's LRB 2567-P3 because it's had three revisions. I've also provided you, Pat, with a PDF of a loss of tax revenue document that identifies that if this is not corrected, the state of Wisconsin will be losing a lot of tax revenue, especially in our room taxes of our hotels that are booked because of these on-farm weddings, as well as sales tax revenue that will be lost.
So again, these are pieces of legislation that will help with expanding farm operations, ways to diversify their business model. And all of that builds on what is already a growing agricultural tourism sector here in Wisconsin. And I know that you attached as well a proclamation from the governor's office proclaiming that this is going to be Wisconsin agricultural tourism fall season. And essentially, Sheila, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's basically saying, look, there's all the usual places you could go on a weekend road trip around Wisconsin, but consider expanding your horizons and looking for opportunities to engage in agricultural tourism, right?
Yes, we're so proud. September 11th through November 2nd is Wisconsin's agricultural tourism fall season. You know, Pat, agricultural tourism is one of the fastest growing segments in both agriculture and tourism. It's revitalizing our rural economies, preserving farmland, allowing families to keep their farm operational for generations. But besides that, it plays a vital role in reconnecting people with agriculture. Guests want to learn where their food comes from and why stewardship of the land matters and how our farmers are essential for everyday life. So it's going to the apple orchard and getting fresh apple cider. It's going to the pumpkin patches and picking your pumpkins. It's attending a class on a farm, maybe learn to have some heritage cooking classes and maybe making some sourdough bread. It's tasting farm fresh ice cream made on a farm like Sassy Cow Creamery, Vesperman Farms, or Kelly's Country Creamery. It's tasting fresh cheese curds at the Phelps Dairy Farm. It's going out and experiencing life on a farm and being disconnected from your tablet, however, or your iPhone. But we also have, Pat, what is really cool is the Wisconsin Maize Challenge, the Wisconsin Agricultural Maize Challenge, because we want you to get out in a cornfield and we want you to get lost, but then find your way out of that cornfield. So we're having a contest. We invite you to visit a family farm, experience a corn maze, use your navigational skills, and find your way out. Take a picture of your visit, post it to Facebook or Instagram with the hashtag WATA Maize, W-A-T-A Maize. And then we will have weekly winners of that WATA Maize Challenge.
The proclamation from the governor's office, you know, talks about, along with everything that's done for, you know, food and feeding the state and feeding America and, you know, the millions of dollars generated for the tourism industry as well. Farm to table events, corn mazes, pumpkin patches, harvest festivals, pick your own orchards, farm stays, scenic venues for weddings and celebrations, and so much more. Hans, it comes down to that diversification, where not every farmer is going to be doing, you know, any one of these things, but the ones who want to, the opportunities are there to, again, you know, maybe take a break from some of the, shall we say, cliche places to go and find some place new across, you know, rural Wisconsin.
Absolutely. And I mean, as far as getting lost in a cornfield, if that happens to me, that means my heifers busted through the fence and went into the cornfield and I'm chasing them around. And it's usually dark when that's happening.
I was going to say, or raining.
That's raining. So
the one thing I know from marrying from a farm girl is if she has seen cows out before, and again, it's raining or close to dark, they never pick, oh, it's a nice sunny day, I'm going to break through the fence here. No, it doesn't work that way at all.
No. If you've ever chased heifers through a cornfield in the middle of the night, that's an ag adventure right there. But what one thing, and we've had this conversation before, as far as the economic impact, I think is huge, and that ability for people who are a few generations away from the farm to get reconnected with agriculture, both in terms of modern agriculture and what's happening, you know, with ag right now, but also having that connection to our history. And there's a lot of ag related history, obviously, in the state of Wisconsin. So it's all good.
Yeah. And then finally, the Wisconsin Farmers Union will have a fly-in in Washington, D.C. Sheila, are you taking that one, or is Hans talking about what happens for the fly-in?
Well, they're actually there now. Okay. There are 16 to 20 farmers that are in Washington, D.C. at the Capitol at the fly-in meeting with our elected officials there. They're working through their special orders of business, which is, you know, working on climate change and farming, quality health care in Wisconsin, creating fair maps, and concentration in the agricultural industry. And so we're really proud of our farmers that took the time away from their farms to fly out to Washington, D.C. for a few days and meet with our elected officials in their offices in their Capitol buildings.
And I mean, Hans, you've been to D.C. and Madison, right, for lobbying efforts. And so you know just what these folks are doing. And sometimes it's an opportunity. Sometimes it's a challenge to talk to their elected officials.
Well, I think it's both. It's both. But it's very important. And my hat's off to the farmers who have gone on these things and take the time away from their farms, because it is tough to get away for, you know, a few days like that. And sometimes feeling like you might be talking to people who aren't maybe very receptive, but it is a chance to have a seat at the table and talk with staff members and talk with your policy makers and so forth. So it's very, very, very important. And regardless of the topic, but of course, Farmers Union is bringing a lot of things to the table, a lot of issues to the table. A lot of the issues that we've talked about, climate change mitigation and antitrust legislation, things that are so important to our rural economies. And so it's definitely very, very important work. And my hat's off to the folks who took the time.
So again, to learn more, head over to WIAgTourism.com. Again, WIAgTourism.com to learn about the Corn Maze Challenge and corn mazes, fairs and festivals, pick your owns, vineyards, farm stays, and much more. Sheila Everhart brings that to us from the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. Sheila, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Pat. We always appreciate your support of the agricultural tourism industry.
Absolutely. And Hans Breitenmoser, dairy farmer up near Merrill. Hans, good to talk to you as well. Take care out there.
Thank you. See you guys.
You bet. Good to have both of you around again. We talk to Hans every other week, and we always appreciate when he brings Sheila Everhart around as well, because there's so much more that we can be learning here. Our Tuesday 1-2 political punch with Dan Schaefer and Cam Stevenson, live from Washington, D.C., still on the way. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Thank you. Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
This year, the magic is calling you like never before. Craft your own magic at the Wicked Wand Workshop and race for glory at the Ninja Warrior Challenge. Feast on hearty turkey legs and cheer on live combat jousts. There's something for everyone in our magical village. Bring your family, bring your friends, and create memories that will last through the ages. The Minnesota Renaissance Festival, weekends August 16th through September 28th. Don't miss the adventure. Get your tickets at renaissancefest.com.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy. In 2011, I founded Wesley Financial Group with one goal in mind, to help honest folks out of their timeshares permanently. Today, I run Wesley with my two sons, a real family business, treating every client and every employee like we'd want our own family treated. That philosophy has helped us grow into the largest, most trusted timeshare cancellation company in the United States. Fortune magazine even recognized us as one of the best places to work. Why? Because we genuinely care. In fact, some of our former clients were so moved by their experience working with us, they joined our team so they could help others to timeshare freedom. If you're stuck in a timeshare, give us a call. Let our family help your family.
Call Wesley now for your free timeshare exit kit. 800-549-8866. 800-549-8866. 800-549-8866.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
James Santel joining me. Donald Trump just flat out threatening Federal Reserve Governor Lisa Cook.
A lot of people apparently, Maggie, in high places in government engaging in mortgage fraud, including Adam Schiff and Letitia James, and now Commissioner Cook as well. The Federal Reserve is created independent of politics, preventing exactly this kind of thing from happening. This is the instability that causes economic crisis.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Sugared soda or diet soda? What's worse, Mr. Jeff Perry?
Sugared sodas are worse.
Really?
I think that Coke Zero is better than regular Coke.
Kurt, listening on MDX of Madison.
Diet sodas are terrible because it fools the brain in producing insulin. If you don't care about your body, go for it.
Jeffrey says, I think it's pretty obvious that I don't.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
More with Pat Kreitlow on the Buzz of the North coming up here on another cool morning here on a Wednesday. Tuesdays are Greeples. That's right.
You got one victory, Joel, and you fell apart.
I did. I really did. We're talking green and gold. We're talking purple, thus the Greeple. I bragged a lot about J.J. McCarthy in the earlier segment, so let's talk about the Packers. The one thing that I came away from watching that game as an opponent of the Packers, the Vikings in that division, was I was impressed with the Packers' line. And offensive line was pretty good. Defensive line, if they do that all year, yep. I'm not saying they're going to do it all year. The Lions had a lot of personnel changes in the offseason, so we're not sure how good that's going to be. But that was a great start for that Packer defensive line on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Be excited. Packer fans, be excited. That's exactly what you want to happen when you bring Micah Parsons in. You don't necessarily want or expect Micah Parsons to get 3 sacks a game, but if he can, that's 50 sacks a year, you're going to let him do that. What a good pass rusher does, I mean, and you can hear Mike Holmgren talk about Reggie White that way. The sign of how good Reggie White was in the stats of Gilbert Brown. That's one of the ways he'll put it. Like, you want to see how good Reggie was? Watch his highlights, but watch Gilbert's highlights and look at the how was Gilbert before Reggie got there. And then once Reggie got there, like, listen to Micah Parsons immediately after the game. He's talking to Lucas Van Ness, or he's talking to the press about Lucas Van Ness, about how good Lucas is going to have it this year. Well, part of that's because the guy who would be blocking Lucas is over on Micah in a double team. Yeah. So we're about to have a blocking advantage on just about every play that Parsons is on the field, because even if he's not the guy, there's two guys on him, which means someone else can be.
Yeah, and a pretty common way that teams will approach a guy like Micah Parsons is you'll double team him. We saw that a lot on Sunday. And then your offense will have a tendency to call plays or switch plays at the line of scrimmage that may lean toward where Micah is. So let's say Micah Parsons lines up, you know, the quarterback gets under center, and here's Micah Parsons to the right of the center right there. So the offense may think, okay, we're going to double him. So we're going to go at him because we think we can get by him. Well, then that frees up the guy coming from the backside, let's say, on the run play.
Yep.
So if you don't do what you're supposed to do with Micah Parsons, or maybe he totally ties up those two blockers and even wins the battle at the line of pushing him back a little bit into the backfield, you're in a lot of trouble because you better blow up that guy you're double teaming.
Yes.
You better knock him to his butt. And I don't see Micah Parsons being knocked to his butt a whole lot.
No, certainly not. He's 6'4", he's 240, and he hits you with all that momentum. He's got speed to power. He's
energy. Energy.
He can speed rush you. He can power rush. He can decide between those two. I mean, most pass rushers have two or three moves. Micah has four or five, which is basically the whole repertoire, and he can kind of decide between them. If you look at his success rate, there's four out of those five he uses really well, and there's one he's pretty deficient in, and I don't remember which. But that's what makes a good pass rusher, is that they have options. But I know those of you out there who really know football, you don't have to double team him. You can chip block him. Yes, indeed. But like, so just for those more casual fans, the ones yelling at the radio are out there like, yeah, you don't need two guys. You can use timing. And you really can. You can basically very quickly block Micah and then make sure you get the ball out before he gets to the quarterback. And in so doing, only use one guy to block him. But in order to pull that off, you need a quarterback who's capable of making the decision that quickly. It's basically the same thing as a few years ago when the zero blitz was trendy. You basically send everybody, and if that quarterback can't make the decision and throw the ball in a second and a half, there's a sack. Okay, almost nobody can except Patrick Mahomes. And so Patrick Mahomes was lighting up people who were bringing the zero blitz against him. So we got to watch out because, yes, there are opportunities to slow Micah down with one person. And there aren't many guys who can do it. But when we play our hand towards that, we're going to get dominated. You know, when a team can handle that Micah effect, it's going to be really bad for us because our cornerbacks are relying on the pass rush. The linebackers and the defensive backs are relying on the mistakes that the defensive line creates.
Yeah.
And that's our defense this year. That is how it's going to work. Defensive line creates pressure, creates mistakes, creates opportunities, and Xavier McKinney gets to eat. I can't wait if it works that way.
Well, like with most great teams, you know, one player makes your team better, but it doesn't necessarily make you a Super Bowl champion.
Exactly.
And Micah Parsons, when I saw him a couple different times chasing down the quarterback out of the pocket on Sunday, I thought to myself, that's a faster version of John Randall.
Yes.
I mean, and the energy he has, you can just feel the intensity when he's stalking the quarterback as he's running out of the pocket. You can just feel it.
So here we were on the road. I was listening on the radio and listening to Wayne Larrivee describe that Micah Parsons sack on Jared Goff. It was like, that was really exciting. It was his first one, but it didn't necessarily sound like Micah accomplished much. It kind of sounded like he cleaned up a bit of a mess that the whole team made. But then I watched the highlight back. And if you haven't watched that highlight closely, again, it's not that super exciting of a sack, except that it's the first. But watch Micah separate himself from the pile of bodies. That is downright frightening because so the play starts, you got 5-on-5, that becomes a soup. You know, you get that pile of, it looks like the dust cloud out of Warner Brothers, fists and feet and claws and a couple pen scratches. And then out of that nonsense, Micah Parsons leaps out of it. And he's already got momentum before you even see him separate himself from the pile. It's like, wait a minute, how did you even start with he's got a running start out of a pile of bodies, and he's like a missile aimed at Jared Goff. And I mean, lion after a gazelle. It's kind of freaky to watch. It's like, how did you know where Jared was? There were eight dudes like partying with you right there, and then boom, he's there. Yeah. It's terrifying.
And his speed will, I think, help when you play a quarterback like Caleb Williams, who has speed coming out of the pocket. If you got a Vikings found that out last night, if you got a fast lineman who can get out there and make that running quarterback like Caleb Williams make a faster decision, at the very least, they may still get around the edge a little bit, the quarterback, but you're making him make a faster decision on what they're going to do, because, you know, Parsons, we saw him We saw him chase down Goff a couple of different times
yes.
as he left the pocket. So good week one for Packers fans. Packer fan the whole game. I mean, that was a pretty dominant game.
Yes.
Whole game. Viking fans, the first half was not good. It was really bad, but I'll give credit to the Vikings. They were patient with young J.J. McCarthy. They baby-stepped him into it a little bit, and then second half, they didn't turn him loose fully. He did have a pick six. It was just a bad throw. I think J.J. McCarthy, that was a transition from college to pro. He threw an out pattern. It looked open to me. As soon as he threw it, the cornerback came from like 10 yards back to make the pick. So an encouraging week for both teams. We'll have more Greeple football talk next Tuesday and probably later this week a little bit too on the morning segment. Thank you, Gray.
Thank you.
More with Pat Kreitlow coming up here on a Greeple Tuesday, green and purple. We talk Tuesday here on the Buzz of the North on WBZ.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZ H 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump denying a letter and drawing attributed to him from so-called birthday book presented to convicted sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein on the occasion of Epstein's 50th birthday. It was released by Democrats on the House Oversight Committee last night. The U.S. Supreme Court giving immigration agents the okay to resume raids in Los Angeles and saying pulling people over based on their race, accent, or line of work is legal.
Justice Sonia Sotomayor dissenting, writing, "We should not have to live in a country where the government can seize anyone who looks Latino, speaks Spanish, and appears to work a low-wage job." But Justice Brett Kavanaugh saying such factors taken together can constitute at least reasonable suspicion of a legal presence in the United States.
ABC's Nicole D'Antonio. The Israeli military urging a full evacuation of Gaza City ahead of the planned offensive. Ukrainian President Zelensky says a bomb attack in eastern Ukraine killed 21 people.